WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
The first Raw of 2023 kicked off with a bang. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin, that's Lindsay Ward.
They came out swinging tonight on Monday Night Raw. They didn't waste any time, they didn't hesitate, they're like, we're going full bore. They started hot tonight.
With a hostile takeover of Monday Night Raw from the Bloodline, of all people. Because they were having a mad over what happened on Friday Night SmackDown when John Cena and Kevin Owens beat Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn in the middle of the ring. So Sami Zayn and the Usos and Solo came out. They rip up the announce table. They toss it over. They threaten people. They knock down cameramen. Kevin Owens comes out and, you know, Zayn's like, this is a hostile takeover and we're going to... people are going to get hurt, and it's all Owen's fault. Owen said he could have sworn he had something to say, but, you know, after listening to Sammy, he just wants to punch him in the face.
I mean, respect.
Adam Pearce came out with security. He's like, stop it. This is not going to happen. Bloodline, you've done this for too long. I'm not going to let this happen anymore. Security, get rid of them. Yada, yada, yada. Security then got beat up by Solo Sikoa. Kevin's just standing there by Adam Pearce. It's like, this is what we're doing. This is the people we're using and stuff like that. So he's like, all right, screw it. I'm going to go in the ring. 4-on-1. He gets beaten down. Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, the Street Profits, Gallows, and Mustafa Ali come out. And they get rid of the Bloodline. And Pierce, as they're going through the crowd, Pierce is like, you're not leaving that easily. We're going to put you to work tonight. And they'll figure out what it is here in a moment. And Zayn's like, whatever happens next is on your hands, Pierce. So we come back from break, and the guys are backstage and with Adam Pierce, and everyone wants a thing. Oh, Elias was also in the ring. He wants a fight with Solo. Pierce books him in a street fight. Everyone else wants a match, but then he books the Usos and Sammy against the Street Profits and Kevin Owens. Thoughts on everything that happened?
I thought this was very good, very well done. I enjoyed all of this. I feel a little bad for Adam Pearce because he's like, you've done this for too long. I'm not going to let you do this anymore. And you're just like, yeah, no, sit down, honey. Just sit down. We all know, as much as we love you, you have no power here. So just sit down.
Solo would fight Elias in the Music City Street Fight, which was really, really good. So in the crowd was an artist named Hardy, who was going to be performing his song at the Royal Rumble. And, you know, they introduced him and all this stuff. And he eventually had a guitar, apparently, with him in the crowd, because that's safe. And Elias would use it, but it didn't work, and all these things. And all the interferences did not go as planned. Solo Sikoa got the win over Elias after dropping Elias on a piano. And I thought, that man... that's going to leave a mark. That hurts.
That looked like it was painful.
There's no give on a piano.
There's zero give on a piano. I always hate when they do street fights with instruments. I'm not going to lie. Like, the former band geek in me is just, like, cringe every time. Because it's like, that's such a waste of a perfectly good instrument. I know there are plenty in the world. But just to me, it's like, you see that happen and you're like, oh. But the drop on the piano was just, that was vicious.
Yeah, it was. So Solo would end up getting the win. Then there was the Street Profits and Kevin Owens taking on the Usos and Sami Zayn. In the end, you had you saw Sheamus and Drew McIntyre show up after the match to even up the odds, and we're kind of making it look like we're getting more between the Profit. It'll be more with Drew and Sheamus taking on the Bloodline, and I believe the tag team title match has been reset for this Friday on SmackDown, the Usos and Drew versus and Sheamus, because that was supposed to happen about a month ago before Drew got injured and could not perform in the match. Yeah, Solo's going to be something special. Oh man, he's going to be really special.
He's going to be amazing. He's basically going to be, if Roman ever decides to leave, he's going to take that spot.
This could be a really breakout year for Solo.
Like, I like what they're doing with him so far.
So the Usos and Sami would end up getting the win. We're building closer to Kevin and Roman, I would assume, than where all these things are headed. And we'll see where it goes from there.
I think my favorite part of all of this, of how they're doing all of this, is how they're building the multiple feuds and how they're doing it all, where it's multifaceted. But I love the Sami and Kevin stuff and how they've reinvented that feud. Because it's like, Sami and Kevin are, I don't want anything to do with you. Get away from me. Leave me alone. And yet all they can do is be around each other. It's really nice how they're doing it. And then having Drew and Sheamus show up out of the blue tonight and beat down the Bloodline. That was really good. You know, just making Solo look like a fucking beast. That was great. I feel bad for Elias, but it was great. Sometimes sacrifices need to be made. And what's really beautiful about this whole entire thing is they are allowing the what would be considered the background players of the Bloodline to shine without Roman. Because a lot of times what happens with factions is you have the leader, right, who's Roman, and he's with Heyman, and the spotlight falls entirely on him, and then everybody else kind of gets forgotten. With this, that's not what they're doing, because they're making Roman an attraction, and he's special, and it's when he shows up, that's really important when you see Roman. They're making the other members of the Bloodline important and special, and when they show up, they mean business. It's not just, oh, you're Roman's cronies. It's like, no. They can handle their shit, and they do. Like, they don't need a nod from Roman to be like, yeah, no, go beat up Elias. They don't need that. It's just, we're just gonna do it. And I really like that. I really like how they're booking that out.
I think they will, man. Kevin will have a heart, I think, is how it's gonna end up. Kevin has a heart. So Dexter Lumis would beat Chad Gable. Quick little match.
It was
solid.
Going back to the Uso stuff for a second. If you look at how Sami is around Kevin, Sami plays it is very nervous, because I think Sami realizes that he's like one promo away from Kevin just straight up calling him out on his bullshit. Like, the way that they're doing Sami and the way that they're playing Sami is that he's either going to betray or he's going to be betrayed. But Roman has Sami's number. With everything that they're doing, it's Roman knows what Sami's up to. And so it's, I'm going to trust you for right now. But what they're doing with Sami is they're giving Sami just enough of a lead that they're waiting for him to basically slip up. That's what Roman is doing with Sami. That's the whole ploy. And that's what the Bloodline is doing, is, yeah, they trust Sami, but they don't trust Sami, because they know it. Any point he could turn on Roman and he could turn on them, and because he's an inside man, he could blow the whole thing apart. So what they're doing is they're basically keeping Sami very containerized, if that's a word, within the Bloodline itself. Keeping him contained in the Bloodline, I guess is a better way to say that. In the actual Bloodline. So that way, when Sami eventually either betrays or gets betrayed, it does not impact the entire group.
Okay. We had a really good first part of a promo video for promoting the return of Cody Rhodes on this show.
He's on his way back.
Boy, this feels like Hunter returning in 2002 with hype videos and then the big grand return. Huh. Wonder why that is.
I have no idea.
Damage Control was in the ring before the words. They were backstage and you saw MVP chatting with Cedric and Shelton in the background. Huh. Wonder what's going on there. Anyway, Damage Control's in the ring. Bayley talks about this is where the faction was born in Nashville. She talked about beating Becky Lynch, and she did it all by herself, she claims. Out came Becky Lynch, said it was the same thing the week in and week out from Bayley. Lynch called Bayley a fraud. She said it took you Bayley years and years to get out of somebody's shadow, and it took her a year to pull her right back there. Wonder who she was referencing. Becky recalled calling Io and Dakota lackeys for Bayley and said it was It's actually the other way around. Lynch said Sky and Dakota do all the work, and it's only a matter of time before someone turns on someone else. Bayley said Lynch was just upset she lost. Becky said she doesn't get mad when she loses. She gets better. And Becky made a point that Bayley made a good point when she said it's all started here in Nashville, and then said they could end it in Nashville. Bayley said she already beat Lynch fair and square. She said that since Becky has an obsession with Dakota and Io, she should find a partner. Well, Becky's like, I don't have a phone on me. But I'll do a 2-on-1 handicap match. So it was Dakota Kai and Io Sky taking on Becky Lynch. And then the mystery partner would show up, which would be Mia Yim, a.k.a. Michin. And Becky Lynch and Michin would end up taking the feat as Dakota got the pin on, or Io got the pin on Mia Yim.
I'm just going to say this. This is the best damage control has looked in forever. Like, for real. This is the strongest damage control has looked in forever. And I sincerely hope that this is the start of the upturn for damage control, where they're beginning to build them again, because I think a lot of us have high hopes for damage control, and they just so far have really not come to fruition. So you're still going to give it time, and you're still going to let it see where it goes, but it's like, especially with Bayley as a leader, the fact that she could not take down Bianca, and it's like, she should be, we know Bayley, especially this version of Bayley, is like, there's no reason that Bayley should not be able to take down Bianca. It's just, it's not a thing. Even though they were very creative in how they did it, it's like, she should be able to do it. So the fact that you've had damage control kind of go back to the drawing board, they're going to figure it out, and now they're making another run again, and they're booking them strong. I'm here for this.
This should have been the first feud before you put her at the title, where you establish them strong, and then whether Bayley won or lost, it didn't matter, at least. She beat a top worker first and then got to the title. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of how they should have done it, but I think everybody wanted Bayley versus Bianca, and so they just went for it.
And Becky was out hurt, too.
And Becky was out hurt, but, you know, they just sort of went for it. So hopefully this is the start of a run for them. Becky looked good. I thought using Minchin to sort of work with Becky and elevate Minchin using all these fine ladies was incredibly appropriate and perfect to help build her back up as well.
It was. So, also, we got an update on Dominic Mysterio.
Oh my god, this train wreck. Oh my god.
He's wearing a white tank top, white backdrop. He served hard time, y'all. He prison...
Oh my god.
Prison change Dominic.
He has a teardrop tattoo.
He had toothpick in his mouth, and he just prison changed this man. He's grown up. This was perfect. It was stupid, but it was perfect.
It's ridiculous is what it is. It's utterly ridiculous. It's perfect, like you said, but it's just so ridiculous. He's like, I did hard time. And I'm like, baby, you don't even have a concept of hard time. You don't even know what it is. You were in jail for... You didn't even really go to jail. We all know this, but it's like, you were in jail for what?
A couple hours? Yeah.
Come on, shut up with that. Just shut up. We all know.
We all know. So the basis... Come on.
But it worked. I think it added some much needed levity to another very serious situation that was going on at the time. Where it just made you go, what? Just what? What happened? Oh, okay. So yeah, so this was just ridiculous and stupid and... It was interesting, though, that there was a severe lack of Judgment Day on the show tonight. They weren't really around much outside of Dominic. Kind of interesting.
Kind of interesting on that one. Anyway, the show was based around two things, two championship matches. The first was the Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss challenging Bianca Belair. This showed how strong Bianca is, and she played around with Alexa for a while, but Alexa would fight her way back in, and they had a really good match between the two. Nice countering a lot throughout. Both women got busted open at points. Alexa had bloody nose. I think Bianca got busted open during the ending sec part of it. But as Bliss was in control, she looked out in the crowd and saw a man wearing a mask, and then another man wearing a mask, and it sort of got into her head, and then the Wyatt logo flashed, and Bliss attacks the referee. She then attacks Bianca and just lays into her, throws her in the ring post, the barricade, the steps, a DDT on the ring steps. This is where Bianca got cut open. Drives her down for another one. Fans were chanting one more time. EMTs would then help Bianca out.
I hope Bianca is okay, and I hope Alexa is okay, because both of them got roughed up a little bit. They both have blood, like, Alexa had a bloody nose, and Bianca had a bloody mouth, like a bloody lip. I hope she didn't, like, break a tooth or something, because that would be super awkward. But yeah, this was, it's beginning, y'all. It's beginning. Here we go.
The heel turn has begun. The influence has started. So Bianca cut a promo beforehand, and, like, she said, Alexa, you know, talking about Alexa, and you know, and Brian, like, that's not Brian. It's Alexa. This is now the one in control. And that's sort of what Alexa kind of stated later in the show, where she's basically like, she, because she was asked, I think it was like, she was lost control or whatever. And she's like, no, I gained control over Bianca's headspace. She now is, she's the only threat, and the Raw Championship, Women's Championship belongs to her. I thought that was good, like, and you could see the, you could tell it was like, yeah, she had a bloody nose because, like, there's dry blood on everything. It's like, she's going to need to be looked at. But yeah, they're the nice twist of the character, more of an edge, and we're probably going to get a rematch at the Royal Rumble, which is smart.
What's nice about it was she had this crazed look to her, too, afterwards, where she has all the eye makeup because she did the darker eye makeup tonight. She's got, it's all kind of sort of like smudged and everything because she obviously wrestled a match. But then she's kind of got the dried blood, and it's the lighting and the way that they shot her that, like, you just saw that little bit of the twisted little Miss Bliss coming back out, and you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, it's on now.
Like, I can't wait to see what they're going to do. But yeah, it's, I am very, very, very curious to see how they tell this story, because, again, the biggest obstacle is the betrayal of Alexa to Bray.
Mm-hmm.
And how they sort of resolve that with Alexa making amends to Bray, or I guess at this point, Uncle Howdy?
Who knows?
Because, like, basically Uncle Howdy is the worst version of the Fiend. Like, he's the more evil personality that has manifested itself into a physical form and has way too much swagger that a ghost of a man should not have. Bless. I'm sorry, just the way he came to the ring on Friday was like, that's rude. That's so rude. No man should have that much swagger. But anyway, they made me like it, that's why I don't like it. Anyway. Like, fuck. But yeah, I'm very curious to see how they tell the story, how they do this whole thing, because obviously you're gonna have Alexa descend into madness again, and how will Bray, or I guess Uncle Howdy, or possibly we might get Uncle Harper, because there's two names that got copyrighted. It's Uncle Harper and Uncle Howdy. Will we see an appearance by Uncle Harper? And is he going to be the one that controls Alexa? Where you have one personality controlling Bray, one personality controlling Alexa, because that's how it was originally with the Funhouse, is that the Funhouse version of Bray originally had control over Alexa. And then you had the Fiend that had control over both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then very gradually, obviously, it shifted where Alexa took control of Bray and his multiple personalities. So we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, this was all fantastic. And I hope they're both okay.
The other one was the main event for the U.S. title, Seth Rollins and challenged Austin Theory. A really good match. Seth Rollins has a knee injury in this matchup, legitimately or not. Who knows? Hopefully not legit and just good sell job. Because it affected parts of this matchup, including how he tried to win the matchup. Because his knee gave out trying to go for a stomp a couple times. He hit the pedigree, but Theory got out of it because the referee was down and stuff. There was a nice top rope frog splash at one point. Austin Theory tried to escape, but then low blow, and then the A-Town down for the victory. Austin Theory retained. Good main event. Really good main event.
Fantastic main event. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Like, this was really, really good. Austin Theory is another one who is beginning to come into his own, and I very much hope he is another one that has a breakout year.
He's finding himself.
They've finally gotten rid of that character that he was doing prior, which was okay, like, but it had a shelf life, right? And eventually it has to go away, and he has to become more serious, and he has to grow into himself more. And that's what he's doing now. And we're seeing the evolution of Austin Theory happen right before our eyes. So he's another one to kind of watch in 2023, because I think they do have big plans for him. It's just a question of how they're going to do it. But right now, he's a perfectly credible U.S. champion, and I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't in the main title picture by the end of the year. At least the conversation by the end of the year.
If it's not unified, yes. If it's separate titles?
Yeah.
But even if it's unified, point him at Roman.
A little bit away from Roman, but the progress is there. Anyway, that was Monday Night Raw. Really good Monday Night Raw to kick off the year. Good stuff. Road to Royal Rumble at the beginning.
Absolutely fantastic. Like, I wouldn't mind more of these. Like, they've had their break and they've rested and here we go. We are on the road to the Royal Rumble.
But that'll do it for the Raw Pusher live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, we're back live at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. We've reviewed 2022, and now it's time for the Ramblins. That's right, we are going to give out our awards for 2022, and we're going to talk about things that happened and do all the things. So it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
CB Radio is back live, midnight-ish, this Saturday night. Join us, CBRadioLive.com, Fortnite probably beforehand. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, they're going to make their predictions for 2023 and look back at the ones they made in 2022 at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's in fact called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rocksock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your Star Wars skin, because I don't know. Or the Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can check out my Twitch channel when it works, twitch.tv/LinsWard. You can also follow me on most of the socials with that name. Go to my YouTube channel, like, subscribe, ring the bell, do all the things, and use the creator code. I would appreciate it.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBGFamsYouTube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Ramblin' Awards on the Rack, and right back here for the Raw Post Show as the road to the Royal Rumble continues live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.